Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart to confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God,
merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am already sorry for them, and sincerely repentant of them, and I pray thee of thy promise of mercy, and for the sake of the holy innocents that are suffering in the death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, the poor sinful me.
On this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this manner, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Continue with the intro printed in your book. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
To sing praises to your name, O Most High.
Shout for joy to God, all the earth.
Sing the glory of His name. Give Him glorious praise.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds.
So great is your power, and everything is from preaching to you.
All the earth worships you and sing praises to you.
They sing praises to your name.
Come and see what God has done.
He is awesome in His deeds.
Blessed be God.
Because He has not rejected my prayer, but removed His steadfast love for me.
All the earth worships you and sings praises to you.
They sing praises to your name.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
To sing praises to your name, O Most High.
Thank you. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace throughout all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. We're still in the third commandment. Question 48 and 49. What is the Sabbath day? In the Old Testament, God set aside the seventh day, Saturday, as a day of rest for his people to worship and to ponder the power and goodness of God and the work of his creation. Exodus. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And they ask you to read Matthew 6, verses 24 through 34, as Jesus observed what the flowers and the birds do. Letter B, the graciousness of God's work of redemption. Deuteronomy 5. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. What were some features of the Sabbath in the Old Testament? The Sabbath provided time for physical rest. Exodus 23. 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and that the son of your servant woman and the alien may be refreshed. The Sabbath provided time for spiritual rest through worship, fellowship, and devotion to God's words and promises. And I want you to read Leviticus 23 and Deuteronomy 6, where God gives days and seasons of worship to Israel for them to remember his saving deeds and his gracious care for them. Note, rest was part of the rhythm that God put in place in his Old Testament church. On every seventh day, Saturday, people and animals rested from their work. Every seventh year, the land was to rest from planting and harvest. Every 50th year, the year after 7 times 7 years, all debts were canceled. And if you want to look that up, it's Genesis 2, verse 3, Leviticus 25, and Isaiah 61. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Epiphany is from the 13th chapter of Exodus, beginning with verse 12. You shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when the time has come, your sons will ask you, what does this mean? You shall say to him, by a strong hand the Lord brought us up out of Egypt, from the house of slavery. But when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. It shall be as a mark on your hand or frontlets between your eyes, for by a strong hand the Lord brought us up out of Egypt. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land through the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people around the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. And they made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from you, with you from here. And they moved on from Succoth, and encamped at Etham, on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day, and the pillar of fire by night, did not depart from before the people. Here endeth our Old Testament reading. We continue with the gradual. He sent out his word and healed them.
And delivered them from their destruction.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love.
For his wondrous works, his children.
Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus, the 5th chapter, beginning at verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle, or without any such thing, that she might be holy, without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is the word of the Lord. Here endeth the epistle reading. We please rise for the Alleluia verse. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Praise him among his angels. Praise him among his hosts. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 2nd chapter of St. John, beginning with verse 1. Of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there are 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now, and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made into wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have been well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." Here endeth the gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. substance with the Father, binding all things to me. Move for us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost and the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under the Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended to heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and Son, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn. Thank you. upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
The theme is Repent and Trust in the Teachings of God in the Bible. Jesus manifested. That is, he revealed his glory for the first time at the wedding at Cana in Galilee. Jesus chose to reveal his glory for the first time at a wedding. And this tells you that God loves marriage. Your saints in Christ, God doesn't just love wedding celebrations with good food and wine and fun conversations. He loves that the bride and groom promise before witnesses to God and to one another to be faithful to each other for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death parts them. And they ask God's blessing upon them. God is pleased with marriage itself. God is pleased that a wife submits her own will to her husband's, as to the church does to Christ. God is pleased that a husband cherishes his wife as his own body, that he willingly sacrifices his time, money, pride, even his very life for her sake. God is pleased with the intimacy of marriage, which takes place in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust, and which God blesses with children. God doesn't find marriage mundane, outdated, or unnecessary. God is pleased with the work that goes into marriage, the budgeting, the working, the cleaning of toilets and changing of diapers, the communicating, the repenting, and the forgiving. God is pleased when the husband and wife pray together and have devotions together. God is pleased when husband and wife trade off with their crying child so that at least one of them can hear the gospel or that they can sing the hymn with the congregation. All these things that are thought burdensome, ordinary, or unnecessary, God enjoys, and he blesses by turning water into wine, so to speak, every day, providing for the needs of husbands, wives, and children. It is, of course, biblical to emphasize God's good pleasure toward marriage. It is also part of the Lutheran practice. Martin Luther stressed in his sermons on this very gospel reading that God is pleased with marriage. This was because back in his day, the predominant opinion was that celibacy, that is, abstaining from marriage and sexual relations altogether, were more chaste than marriage. This is a major reason why monks, nuns, and priests took vows of celibacy. You see, they thought the vows of celibacy were better than marriage vows. Nevertheless, this is not true. Celibacy is not more chaste than marriage. And Jesus teaches that not everyone can receive celibacy, but it is a gift from God. This is why St. Paul warns the Christians in Corinth, but because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. In his explanation to the sixth commandment, Luther doesn't teach you to refrain from marriage, but rather that husband and wife love and honor each other. God is pleased with marriage because he himself instituted marriage. He determines what it is and that it is good. And God gives three purposes for marriage: companionship, chastity, and children. God says, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." And Jesus teaches Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. But therefore, God has joined together, let no man separate. God instituted marriage so that a man and a woman would be lifelong companions, never to be separated. God instituted marriage so that men and women might live together in holiness and honor and avoid sexual immorality. Sex outside of marriage is a sin, but within marriage, it is a holy gift from God. Finally, God instituted marriage for the sake of children. In Genesis 1, it says that God blessed Adam and Eve and said, "Be fruitful and multiply." And God also says in Psalm 127, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward." You see, it pleases God when a husband and wife are each other's companions for life, are faithful to each other, and when they raise the children God gives them to trust in Christ Jesus. These days, few people consider celibacy a greater virtue than marriage. However, marriage is abandoned by more and more people nonetheless, especially by the current generations. Many sociologists are studying this phenomenon and that it has serious implications culturally, economically, and even politically. They theorize that young people don't want to get married because of the risk of divorce and other financial and emotional burdens. And they're probably right. Although you can't lump all people who choose not to get married into the same category. Still, marriage has become less attractive. For 50% of those who enter into it, it is not a lifelong companionship. Sex outside of marriage has become socially acceptable, so fewer people are concerned about God's gift of chastity within marriage. And children are more and more looked upon as a commodity and a burden, rather than being a gift from God. Many Western countries are concerned by their nation's low birth rates, and their governments are trying to encourage their citizens to have more babies now, so that they can provide for their large aging populations. Nevertheless, even this desire for children is driven by the same materialistic desire that prevented them from having children in the first place. Marriage has become less attractive because human beings are sinners. And whatever you touch tends to get ruined. And this includes marriage. So then what can you do to fix marriage? Well, you can certainly repent where you have failed in your own marriages, where you have accepted the opinions of this momentary world over the teachings of God in the Bible. However, no matter how hard you strive, your marriages will continue to be unattractive and detached from how God intends them to be. What you need to fix your marriages and the marriages of as a whole is Jesus. My brothers and sisters in Christ, there were 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification. 6. The number of days God worked to create the world. 6. The number of days in a week that God gave Israel to work and to do all their labor. 6. 1 less than 7. 1 less than being complete. Stone, as in the stone tablets on which God wrote the 10 commandments. The 6 stone water jars represent the works of the law. No matter how much you labor, you never accomplish what you aim for. These jars were for the Jewish rites of purification. They were for the washing of the outside of the body. But they can never purify the inside of the body, which is what is really needed. Jesus, after filling up these jars, turns the water into wine. He turns the water that could not wash the inside of the body into wine, which makes glad the hearts of men. This is a symbol of what Jesus does for marriage. No matter how hard you work to make your marriage perfect, because of your sinful limitation, you will never succeed. And you're not going to fix the marriage crisis in the society simply by trying to enforce a bunch of rules. No, the only one who can fix a broken marriage is Jesus. Jesus turning the water in the water, the full jars into wine, teaches that Jesus fulfills the demands of the law for you. It makes you clean on the inside, not just the outside. Jesus makes you clean on the inside by forgiving your sins. The forgiveness of sins is what every marriage needs. You will sin against your spouse, and you will sin against God. And sinners cannot please God, as St. Paul says in his letter to the Christians in Rome. Those who are of the flesh cannot please God. Sinners cannot make themselves holy. Sinners need to be forgiven. You need to be forgiven by Christ. You need to be forgiven for your sins against his holy institution of marriage, just as you need to be forgiven for your sins against every other commandment of God. And Jesus freely forgives those who repent of their sins. St. John writes, "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Yes, God loves marriage so much that he honors it by saying that it refers to Christ and his church. Jesus Christ, who provides wine for the wedding, is the bridegroom. The church is his bride. Nevertheless, like marriage in this fallen world, the church doesn't look splendid, without spot or wrinkle, holy and without blemish. The church looks broken up and divided, racked with scandal and discord, stained and confused. As our closing hymn states, "Though with a scornful wonder the world sees her oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed." However, the church is not holy and without blemish because it is filled with holy people who have never done anything wrong. The church is holy and without blemish because Christ Jesus, her bridegroom, laid down his life for his bride, washed her clean through the water and the word of baptism, joined inextricably with his blood shed upon the cross. The church is without spot or wrinkle of sin because Jesus, her bridegroom, has forgiven her all her sins by virtue of his suffering and death. That is what makes Christ's marriage to his bride holy. That is what makes you holy. You see, what the church needs, what truly makes the church, is the forgiveness of sins won by Christ Jesus. She needs the gospel. That is why you are members of this one holy Catholic, Christian, and apostolic church. You are members of the communion of saints, because Christ Jesus has washed you clean with his blood. He has forgiven your sins. He has baptized you and clothed you in his own righteousness. And this forgiveness is not confined to the walls of the sanctuary, but you take it with you into your lives. This forgiveness sanctifies your homes. It sanctifies your marriages. And it sanctifies your families. No matter how much you try to wash your sinful lives clean and fix your marriages with superficial purification, you still remain dirty. But Christ Jesus, the one who turns water into wine. He forgives your sins and makes you clean on the inside and on the outside. When you live as forgiven Christians, God is pleased with you. Even if the world cannot see the spots or wrinkles in your life, because God can't, they've been washed clean in the blood of Christ. You're saints in Christ. The solution to fixing your marriages, indeed the solution to fixing your lives, is to repent of your sins and turn to the one who turns water into the wine, to the one who forgives sins and places his Holy Spirit within you. Jesus makes good wine. He makes the best wine. He fills your cup with his own blood to purify your hearts and to wash away your sins. Jesus is your bridegroom. You are his bride. And through his forgiveness, which you receive through faith, he joins you to himself forever. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
For the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, how awesome are your deeds. For it pleased you to send your Son into the world to rescue us from sin, death, and the devil. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we would cling in faith to Jesus Christ, our bridegroom, and receive from him forgiveness, life, and salvation in his holy church. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, look with favor upon Matthew, our synodical president, Brady, our district president, Greg, our circuit visitor, and all pastors in Christ. That the Holy Gospel would be preached among us in its purity and the sacraments administered according to Christ's institution. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, God of all concord, it is your gracious will that your children on earth, living together in harmony and peace, defeat the plans of those who would stir up violence and strife, destroy the weapons of those who delight in war and bloodshed. And according to your good and gracious will, end all conflicts in this world, especially in our state. Teach us to examine our hearts that we may recognize our own inclination towards envy, malice, hatred, and enmity. Help us by your word and spirit to search our hearts and to root out all evil that would lead us to strife and discord, so that in our lives we may be at peace with all people. Fill us with zeal for the work of your church and the proclamation of the gospel of Christ, who alone can bring peace that is beyond all understanding. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. O Lord, you have forged the human family in a wonderful pattern and blessed the sacred vocations of husband and wife. Inspire us to stand in this world faithful to this biblical institution and show forth the glory of Christ in his church. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, at the wedding at Cana, your son provided wine which had run out for the feast, inspiring those desiring marriage among us to prepare themselves faithfully to seek their joy in Christ alone. In this way, let them receive from Christ everything they need and every blessing for life. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, we bless Dave and Linda continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant to which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O God, our King, you govern all things in heaven and on earth. Bless those whom you have placed in authority over us, that they would be inclined to your will and walk according to your commandments. Bless also those who serve in our armed forces, that they would serve with integrity and honor. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, behold with compassion all who are sick or suffering, especially Patricia, Eric, Steve, Kathy, Bob, Barb, Jerry, Patty, Julie, Marge, Wally, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Mo, Mike, Jenna, Ruth, Tammy, Roger, Sarah, Larry, Rachel, Shirley, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Lizia, Gordon, Deb, Mary, Billy, Ted, Tony, the Langton family, the Leslie family, Grace, Belinda, and Talitha. Grant that they would know the consolation of your love in Christ Jesus and be strengthened to endure. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O God, your Holy Spirit, you give your Holy Spirit to those who approach the altar this day, that they would receive the true body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, in faithful repentance and to their abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, from the dust of death through the waters of baptism, you take from the side of Christ crucified a bride without spot or wrinkle. Let us find comfort and peace in him. And let us join the whole body of Christ in the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, where the wine of joy and gladness never runs dry. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. We continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
Let
us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should in all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son, in him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, drink. The true body of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Amen. Eat. This is the true body of Christ. Give it to death for your sin. By the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, grant you saving faith by the hearing of His word. Take, eat. The true body of Christ. Give it to death for your sin. By the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you. eat, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of our sins.
For he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us for this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Tuesday, there's a board meeting. If there's an emergency this week, contact one of the elders. We will contact Pastor Poop to see if he's available. I'll be at Symposium Fort Wayne, listening to a bunch of lectures. Confirmation still. Anybody else have announcements? Have a blessed week, God bless you.